Would you open your Bibles to John chapter 16? I'm sorry. Let's start with Galatians chapter 5. We're going to be moving back and forth. We're back in a series after the past few weeks in life. It's called Life by the Spirit of God. And we've been talking about the Holy Spirit. And I didn't get to finish a message a couple of weeks ago like I usually don't get to finish. But I'm going to be putting some of that into this message today about the Holy Spirit and His work. And so I would just want to read Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 24. And then we'll be looking at a few things in different passages of Scripture like we always do. Okay. Let's start in 13. For you are called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. But through love, serve one another. Because the whole law is fulfilled in one word in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. For the whole law, but if you bite and devour one another, take care that you're not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit. Live your life by the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit of God. That's what he's saying. If you walk by the Spirit, he says you will never ever, and that's what it says literally, you will never ever, it's a negative that is just really, really emphasized. If you walk by the Spirit, you'll never ever carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another so that you may not do the things that you please. I want you to pray with me for just a moment. Lord, I thank you for this word in the name of Jesus. I pray, Father, that you would speak to us. I pray that the word would not return void, but Father, that we would be people of the Spirit of God and people of the word. People who walk by the Spirit, who never ever carry out the desires of the flesh. What a great promise. What a great hope. What a great anticipation. What a great possibility and potential of the movement of the Spirit of God in our lives to such an extent that we're walking with you. And I pray, Father, that you would birth within us a faith to believe it, to believe that this is what the Christian life is all about. This is what you've called us to. You've called us to Christ-likeness. And the only way we could ever do that is not by the flesh, but by the Spirit of God. And so I'm asking, Lord, that as we move through these passages of Scripture this morning, that we would be conscious of the Holy Spirit, that we would hear the Holy Spirit, that we would line up what we hear with the Word of God, because you will always lead us into truth. And the truth is your Word. And I ask, Father, in your name, that we be a people hungry for a Word, hungry for the Spirit, hungry, Father, that we're no longer being carried away by the things of this world or by the flesh nature. Come, Lord, visit us in this word, so that as a result, we'll make commitments today that will move us toward Christ-likeness like never before. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says that in verse 13 that you were called to freedom. Freedom from what? Freedom from the law. That's what he's talking about. And freedom from the power of sin. It's really interesting that the Galatian people, having come to Christ through faith by grace, are running back to the law, thinking that they have to follow the ceremonial law. They have to follow the covenant of circumcision. They have to cover. It's like something, a little bit like what Rick talked about. It's Jesus and then something else. And that's what they're running after. That's what they're walking after. And Paul is distressed about it. He says, listen, you began with the Spirit. Why are you going back to the law? Why in the world would you do that? Listen, it was for freedom that he set you free from the law of God. That we don't find Jesus through one man, the high priest, year after year, where he's making atonement, but we keep sinning year after year after year. No, he did away with that when Jesus died on the cross and became the high priest. When the temple curtain to the holy place was split forevermore. That you would never have to go through a man. You would never have to go through a man priest to do, or the church to find life. No, you go to Jesus. But these folks are wanting to go back to the law. One of the interesting things about church history in this time is that there are a group of people called Judaizers. And what that means is they go to these Gentile churches and say, you got to become a Jew first. That's not the gospel. The gospel is that Jesus is for all peoples. Jews, Gentiles, which most of us are in this place, if not all of us. We give up the ceremonial law. Now, there are laws like the Ten Commandments, right? That he's actually addressing in here in a sense that says, listen, you want to fulfill the law, love your neighbor as yourself. Matter of fact, Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength, and you will see yourself following after the Lord in your behavior, in your actions. This is by faith through what? Grace. Not by works. Your works cannot save you. This is the dead religion that we sang of just a moment ago. That he took us from a dead religion. What's a dead religion? It's a religion that says that you got to do this, this, and this in your faith. Folks, listen to me. Listen to me. We just came from Greece. Muslim group that thinks that, well, that believes that they don't know if they're forgiven until judgment. And the reason why they don't believe they're forgiven until judgment, because they've got to do more good than bad before Allah can say, okay, you're in. Can you imagine living all your life thinking that you had to work for it, 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 and you're always coming short? And you don't know in this life that you're saved? Jesus, the substitute, like we talked about last week, bore those sins on the body, and that we believe that what he did 2,000 years ago, he did to us. No, it's like, yes, we're saved by faith, by faith alone. But I'm going to tell you this, because this is the other side of faith. It's a faith that's not alone. It's a faith that produces the fruit of the Spirit. And that's what he's talking about. Now, I want to just say this because it's really, really important. In John 16, it's in your notes. You don't have to turn. Well, she might put it up for a moment. But I just want to say, listen, the work of the Holy Spirit in your life is that the Spirit of God is given to you to constantly help you. He's called the helper. Matter of fact, in John chapter 16, yeah, we need to turn there. John chapter 16 changed my mind. John chapter 16, notice what he says. Verse 5, behold, he's telling his disciples, now I'm going to him who sent me. And none of you are asking me, where are you going? But because I've said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. But I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I'll go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. Concerning sin, because they don't believe in me. Righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. And I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot hear them. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. Three things the Spirit of God does. He constantly helps you. Jesus said, look, if I don't go away, I can't send the helper. The Spirit. This is the phenomenal work of the third person of the Trinity. He says, if I go away, I can't send him to you. And it's plural. So it means everyone who has faith in Christ, watch, you know this. He sends the Spirit into your life. Third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, living God, living in you. Paul will call it the Spirit of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is calling it the Spirit of truth. And then even Paul will call him the Spirit of Jesus. Living in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory, the helper, the spirit of the living God that we saw a few weeks ago when creation is forming, that he's hovering over the chaos. He's brooding over it. He's vivifying it. He's bringing it to life. And God the Father speaks the word and says, let there be light. It's a powerful thought of the Trinity. And that same spirit that was hovering, brooding, comes to live in you the moment you put your faith in Jesus. Amen. And he's there to constantly help you. He's called the paraclete, the one called alongside to help. To help you as a man in your life, as a husband, as a dad, as a man, as a woman, as a wife, as a mama. He's called alongside to help you in the things that we're getting ready to talk about in personal moral, in personal character and in ministry. He comes to lead you and guide you. And that's what he says. He's going to do a couple of things. He's going to come along. He's going to help you. And then the second thing he's going to do is he's going to convict of sin, righteousness and judgment. He said the word is to reprove. He will always point who we are, what we lack, and the consequences of that sin. And he's had this way to reprove his children. And it's this, is to convict us of sin. But not all would respond properly to that. Listen, you find what sin is in Scripture nowhere else. It's in Scripture. And when he says to love your neighbor as yourself, that fulfills the law. He's talking about the second part of the Ten Commandments, or the Ten Words, literally what it means. And it has to do with your neighbor. I love my neighbor, so I don't steal from you. I don't lie against you. I don't covet what you have. I don't lust after your spouse. I don't lust after another woman. Another man. I don't steal. I don't walk in these things. And the problem is that law given, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, that law could never, ever save you. Why? Because one sin alone, separates you from the holiness of God. And you could never keep it enough to be righteous, holy. And we do this in our lives. We run and we run and we run. And I know I've told you this example tons of times, illustration tons of times. But I'm going to tell it to you again and remind you again. Before I went to seminary, there were signs all over the place that said, keep off the grass. And everybody walked on the grass. Everybody. They'd have picnics under the trees. They'd walk across things. Here's the law. Stay off the grass. And they can't keep off the grass because Paul said when the law comes, it increases the sin. So before I got there, they decided to take the signs off. And you know what? Nobody walked on the grass. I've never seen anybody walk across the grass. I've seen maybe one or two run to a class, but they're always on the sidewalks. Isn't that interesting? But Paul says that the law will take opportunity to expose the sin in your life and to work it out in your life. That's why we don't look at the law to save us, because it's weak. It can't save you. But what the law could not do, God did, sending his son Jesus to the cross so that he would die a sinner's death in your place, would rise again and then go ascend to the Father and then send the Holy Spirit to you and to me year after year, decade after decade, millennium after millennium. And here we are in the year 2024, and God is still sending the Spirit of God in our lives. Amen. But he's going to come. He's going to help you. And he's going to convict you of your sin. And he's going to tell you what sin is. You can't go to any other source to tell you what sin is. Do you want to go to culture to find out what sin is? You will die with the culture. Because they're always changing the standard. And the standard is God's word, period. There's no new revelation. It's there. Now, God might reveal himself how to walk it out and walk in it and apply it. But that Bible in your hand or on your phone or on your tablet, it's the Word of God. And it is eternal. and it is sufficient. It is sufficient to do the work of God in your life. And what's interesting is that the Holy Spirit is a part of that. He convicts the world of sin. He convicts us of our sin. He tells us in our face what the sin is. He says, what is right? What is righteousness? And he says, who is judged? The Bible says that the enemy has been cast out and has been judged, and his host has been judged by God. But there's also a judgment coming, that you and I are going to stand before him and we're going to give an account to everything we said and everything we did. Today, all the way to the day we were born or had consciousness of life. It's judgment. And it's interesting to me because the Bible says in 1 John that if I sin, I have an advocate with the Father. Jesus, who is the atonement for our sins. It's like the judge saying, Fritcher, you're guilty. And Jesus saying, whoa, 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 wait, I'm the advocate. I bore his sin, every one of them, from beginning to end. I began a work in his life. I'm faithful to complete it in his life. That's why the accuser of the brethren has been cast down. He cannot accuse you, even though he tries day and night. Because you have an advocate with the Father when you came to faith. So that when I sin and when I blow it and I mess up, he's right there, the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the advocate. The Holy Spirit is doing his work in our lives. And he'll convict us of the sin. He'll show us what's right. And he'll move us from the judgment of wrath to the judgment of holiness and grace and mercy and good works. It's a powerful thought of what the Spirit of God comes to do. But I want you to notice one other thing he says. He says that he will lead you into all truth. It's interesting to me because when you see the word truth and you see what Jesus says about truth, he says, look, he says it in John chapter 17. He says, sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. And then in the same book, in John chapter 14, he'll say, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He's going to lead you in the way of the word. And he's going to lead you in the way of Jesus. Always. Period. He will lead you into what he says is truth. Not the lie, but the truth. You know, when Adam and Eve fell, God gave them a word, and it was the truth. In the day that you eat of this fruit, you will die. You will lose the glory of God and the relationship with God that you have. And the enemy comes along and says, oh, no, you won't die. You were baptized. You prayed a prayer. Or you'll just be reincarnated to the next life. Hear that one? All the time. You won't die. In the day that you eat of it, you'll be like God. You'll know, you'll be able to be your own boss to do what you want to do, when you want to do it, because your truth is different from that guy's truth. No, the truth is the word of God, and the truth is Jesus and what he declares. That's the truth. And you got it in your hands. You got the word in your hands. It's interesting to me because when I look at this whole thought of God leading us into truth, what does that mean? It means I got to follow him. I got to walk after him. I got to walk by the Spirit of God. It's interesting. Isaiah, 600 years before Christ, in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 19, would say, O people of Zion, inhabited in Jerusalem, you will weep no longer. He will surely be gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you. And although the Lord has given you bread of privation and water of oppression, he, your teacher, will no longer hide himself, but your eyes will behold your teacher, and your ears will hear a word behind you. This is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right or the left. And this is what you're going to do when you walk after him. You'll defile your graven images, overlaid with silver, and molten images plated with gold. You will scatter your idols as those as an impure thing. And you will say to them, be gone. Your eye will see your teacher, Jesus. And the word will be behind you. Walk in the way. This is the way to walk in it. The teacher teaching, Jesus, the teacher, the Holy Spirit, the teacher, God, your teacher. You're beholding him as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, and you're being transformed into that same image from glory to glory. As you do what? As you walk by the Spirit. So if he's going to guide me in all truth, I want to walk by the Spirit, don't you? I want to walk by the Spirit. Now, when we look at this passage of Scripture, we're looking at something of the character of the believer. Next week, when we talk about being led by the Spirit, we'll be talking about ministry, and it's a little different. It's a little different. But here, to move through the work of the Spirit of God, he says, listen, you got to walk by the Spirit of God. Got to do that. He says, listen, just as we've talked about, faith, this faith in Christ identity is not a law identity. Because again, the law can't save you. Can't do it. And I don't know about you, but do you want to be under the law? Or do you want to be under grace? Now, this grace doesn't give you a loophole to continue in your sin. It brings you to holiness. Titus chapter 3, verse 11. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. So notice, if you get back to Galatians chapter 5, notice what he says. If you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, and sensuality. Okay. He's talking about sexual sin here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 8 says, this is God's will for you, your sanctification. That is, that you abstain from sexual immorality and you possess your vessels in honor. Jesus, Paul, Peter, John, they just always are talking about immorality. Why? Because it was just as prevalent there as it is today. Immorality. And just to give you the definition of sexual immorality, it's any kind of sensual relationship outside of the marriage bond. Outside of the vow. So if you live together, you sleep together before the vow, you're a fornicator. That's what the word says. And if you walk by the Spirit, you won't walk in immorality, impurity, and sensuality. It's God's word, not mine. And you need to be teaching this to your children. There needs to be a healthy fear of God. Just like we talked about last week. Listen, Jesus comes to set you free from all immorality, purity, and sensuality. And it's broad, folks. It's anything from lusting in your heart and mind to actually carrying out the desire of the flesh. Deeds of the flesh are evident. Immorality, impurity, sensuality. I've seen precious people that I did not know get up and walk out church when I preach this. And one night I saw some woman walk out and call me later and said, I just had to get out of there because I had to go run and get out of this relationship that I'm in. Because it's ungodly. She heard it. She heard it. The good news is if you walk by the Spirit, you won't carry out that. That's the promise, folks. Listen, for all of us, anybody in here who's walked in impurity, sensuality, and immorality, did that thing make you happy? Did that thing fulfill your life? Did it? No, it didn't. Not at all. And so when I preach these deeds of the flesh, it's really, really important to understand that this is what Scripture says. If you want to be under the law, you're going to keep on doing these things. But if you're under grace, there'll be conviction of sin and there'll be instruction from God and there'll be a conviction of what's right and what's wrong and a conviction of judgment. And he'll guide you into the truth and you'll walk in the truth. And if you know the truth will set you free. So this is good news. Unless you don't want to stop. And then that's not good news. And you can talk from here to kingdom come about the grace of God, the mercy of God, and all of that. But I'm just telling you this. The grace of God comes to instruct you how to deny this stuff and how to walk in Jesus. That's what the grace of God does. It's the power of God. Amen. And some of us in this place, some of us watching, some other people that are watching down the line, you have a chain around your neck that pulls you to these places that you don't want to go. And my Jesus comes to put the Spirit of God in you and to take the chain off so you no longer can yank a chain in your life. Push the button in your life because he takes the strongholds away. That's just three. The next is idolatry. And idolatry is loving something more than you love God. And idolatry is something that you think is going to fulfill your life that only God can fulfill. If you think money can fulfill your happiness and your joy, your money is your idol. If you think marriage can fulfill what only Jesus can fulfill, you got an idol. If you think your kids can fulfill what only God can fulfill, your kids become an idol. If you think church can fulfill what only God can fulfill, church can be the idol. If you think that sexual relation can fulfill what only God can fulfill, you got an idol. You got to cast down the idols. I mean, there's good things in life that gives us, that God gives us, that can become an idol. And I want to be wise enough to ask God, oh God, is this an idol? I have to ask this all the time. As your pastor, are you my idol? Is ministry my idol? Is being a pastor my idol? Pray for your pastor. I need you to pray for me. Because I know my propensity to idolatry. My wife can become my idol. And I don't know sometimes when I think she is or she's not. Love my wife. Family can be your idol. Your flesh can be your idol. And a deed of the flesh is idolatry. I know we're running out of time. Sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy. When you see marital discord, deed of the flesh. When you see discord in your work, in your job, deed of the flesh. If you can't get along with anybody, deed of the flesh. That's what this is. That's what enmity is. That's what strife is. There's jealousy. There's outbursts of anger, disputes, dissension, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I forewarned you that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. See that? This is very sobering. And even though I know I'm a little bit out of time, I don't want to stop here because there's good news. When we walk by the Spirit. Because when you walk by the Spirit, you'll crucify the flesh and its passions. You'll walk under the conviction of God. It's not that you become perfect. It's just that you become a man and a woman that's committed to the holiness of God. And it won't be legalistic. It'll be full of grace and full of mercy and full of favor. The mercy, grace, and favor of God. But Paul says it here. I'm warning you, just as I've forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. I didn't make that up. Matter of fact, my flesh doesn't like that verse. But it's the truth. And let a warning passage become your assurance passage. As you find the power of God in the Spirit to be the witness that God's called you to be, both in character and in ministry. To be the witness that points to Jesus by my lifestyle, by my marriage, by my fathering or mothering, by my faithfulness to the things of God. I want you to see this again. If you walk by the Spirit, you won't carry out the deeds of the flesh. Now, I got to tell you something. This week I bought our family an above ground pool, and KJ Fry came and helped me. Well, he didn't help me. He did it. Right, KJ? Got the sand. Got it leveled out. Put it up. And I couldn't get the pump working. Kept leaking. And I'm working with it, and I'm getting water all over me. And I'm just telling you, I didn't say it, but I thought it. It didn't come out of my mouth, but it sure was in my heart. And I shared this with the men's group Thursday, and I said, man, I really feel like I need to go through another time. Well, sure enough, I get a blowout, ruin the tire, can't get a lug nut off because, and then breaks the thing off. Got to get a new cut tire. And oh, by the way, I came back and said, oh, you need a new brake. So I put brakes on. $300. Purse, hole in my pocket. And I can't get the pool going. But I'm determined to walk by the Spirit. Folks, listen to me. Is Jesus always there? Is he always present? Is he always in your heart? Yeah. Be conscious of it. I tell you what, if one of you were helping me with the pool, I might still get mad. Because I can worry, I can get angry. There's no temptation that's common to man. We all go through the same. It's always the same scheme. Just different chapters. And Paul says we're not ignorant of the schemes. And so when you know what Paul says he does? He dies daily. What do you think he's dying to? He's dying to the flesh, the carton, so that he might live by the Spirit. You know, when you're walking, you get tempted, and all of a sudden you're convicted even of the temptation, and you flee from it, and you have victory. You remember that? Why can't you do that every time? I believe you can, by the power of the Spirit. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit starts with love, ends with what? Self-control. Okay? Love. Bible says that the word is fulfilled, the law is fulfilled. Jesus said, if you love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, your neighbor as yourself, right? You'll be keeping all of the word. That's the simplicity of the gospel. And he says, look, all these fruits, love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control, these are fruit of the Spirit that when you walk by it, it comes out of your life. And what God begins to do is he begins to root out your heart to get all this junk out, all this stuff out. And sometimes you need help with that. Sometimes you need a pastor. Sometimes you need somebody in your life that'll come and pray with you and pray with you and lead you in prayers of repentance and forgiveness and watch God work. Watch God work. The good news is that if I walk by the Spirit, I won't defile myself with the desires of the flesh. I'll say no to sin. I'll say I will not walk in agreement with this. I will move in victory. I will move in conquering, just like he says in Romans chapter 8. We overwhelmingly conquer. Because why? Because we've got the Spirit of God living in us. And whoever the Son sets free is free indeed. So I walk by the Spirit. Now I want you to notice real quickly, verse 24, those who belong to Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. And if we live by the Spirit, let us walk by the Spirit. Notice, if you belong to Christ, this is what you've done. You have crucified the flesh. Now I'm going to tell you this, that's in a perfect tense. So this is what it looks like. I have, I will continue, I am right now, and I will continue to crucify the flesh. It's not a one-time shot. It's a walk. And as you mature in the faith and you go from glory to glory, guess what? You begin to walk by the Spirit more than you walk by the flesh. Amen. It's called glory to glory. It's called maturity in Christ. It's where you have learned the strategies of warfare and you're walking it out in the name of Jesus. This is the blessing of the Spirit of God that comes, takes away the sin, destroys the works of the devil, crushes his head. And I think about just the whole thought of just the word of God in our lives. And I don't have this in my notes, but I've got to get, I think they're in your notes. Do you have a fold? Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. See, walking by the Spirit is walking by his word. And I just want to say this because it's really important. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to me but by Father but by me. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. I'm not saying your Bible is Jesus. It points to Jesus. And I want you to notice a couple of passages of Scripture, and then we'll close with this. The Word's inspired by God. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is God-breathed, and it's profitable to teach you, to reprove you, to correct you, and then to train you in righteousness, that you may be adequately equipped for every good work. Folks, this is the work of the Spirit of God through the Word of God. And God's word is alive and eternal. 1 Peter 1:24. All flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which we preach to you. And then God's word brings faith. Romans 10:17. Faith comes from God. And God's word brings righteous and wise living. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. And then Psalm 19:7, the word of God is perfect. It restores the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. It makes wise the simple. The precepts of God are right. They rejoice the heart. And the commandment of the Lord is pure. It enlightens the eyes. Folks, the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit. I've got to walk by the Spirit. And when I walk by the Spirit, I walk by the word. And so here's what I want to close. To live my life, to live your life in such a way that I'm conscious of the Spirit of God so that I might obey the initial promptings of the Holy Spirit in the application of the Word of Life. It's how I resist temptation. It's how I pray for people. It's how I minister to people. I pray for people, pray with people. This is how I encourage and bless, and I'm a giver and not a taker to others. It's how I fill my day. It's how we love. It's how we go. It's how we testify. It's how we lead people in freedom. Because whoever the Son sets free will be free indeed. Because it was for freedom that he set you free. And folks, we need one another to walk these things out. You may be here today with strongholds in your life. And I'm saying this, you can be free and you can be free today. So you don't mean it. I don't know. God means it. Why would I accept a Jesus that comes in my life where I keep getting my head beat in the rest of my life? Do you believe he comes to fully save? Do you believe he comes to fully save? Fully save. And I want to encourage you with it today. That you can obey the initial promptings of the Spirit of God. Now, I'm just going to tell you this. This is really interesting to me because I see it in my own life. Sometimes I just, in that moment, know the Spirit of God's talking to me. And other times, I don't really realize it until afterwards. Happened to all of us, all right? It's pretty cool. Oh, that was the Spirit of God. That wasn't my flesh. That's how God wants us to walk. To live by the Spirit, to walk by the Spirit. Next week, talk about led by the Spirit, how we see that in ministry. And I hope that you'll continue to be a part.